If you weren't here last week, we are in week two of a mini-series, which is the final week because it's a mini-series, called Hot Faith. Last week, we looked at these three guys. You remember their names? Anybody? Radshack? You got me confused. You got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We took a look at these three guys in the Bible in Daniel 3. If you have your Bibles, go there now. We're going to dive in here in just a few moments. But if you weren't here last week, we looked at the first half, really, of Daniel chapter 3, the first 18 verses. And let me give you a little backstory of where today picks up. So there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they live in this land called Israel, this beautiful, beautiful land that God had given to their people. And on the other end of the story, there's this king named Nebuchadnezzar. He's the most powerful man on the planet at this time. His empire is called Babylon. It's very strong, has a lot of control in the world, and this is a long, long time ago, thousands of years ago. But this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, decides, I want to go into Israel, and I want to get a few things and bring them back with me. So he goes into Israel, he grabs these three guys, and obviously some other people as well, grabs them, grabs some stuff, and says, "You're coming with me to Babylon." So he takes these people, they find themselves in Babylon, and the issue with this is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were committed to their God, to our God, the same God that you and I serve. But in Babylon, these people worshiped quite a few other gods, some statues, some crazy things that obviously had no power. And for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this presented some real problems. So, even though they found themselves in Babylon, they remained faithful to God. They remained faithful in the things that they ate, the things that they did, the things that they said, the way that they acted. They remained faithful to God. And because of that, God chose to bless them. God blesses them, and he brings them into a place where they're actually serving King Nebuchadnezzar himself. They get an important role in the city, in the town, in the nation of Babylon. And then one day, this king, Nebuchadnezzar, decides to do something a little crazy. See, he makes this statue. It's 9 feet wide, 90 feet high, and it's made of pure gold. And he says to everybody, "Come check this thing out. While you're here, go ahead and bow down to it. This will be your God now." And for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you could see how this would cause some problems. So when everybody else bowed to the statue, these three guys stayed standing. And this obviously made our king Nebuchadnezzar a little bit angry. So what does he do? He calls him in and he says, "Hey, look, I'll give you one more chance. You can bow to the statue, or if you don't want to, you can always be thrown into a blazing furnace." I mean, the choice was pretty clear, right? It's like, well, die by burning alive or just bow to a statue. I don't know. Nowadays, we're like, well, I think that's pretty easy. We could make up our minds on that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked back at the king and said, "Look, you can try to throw me in the furnace. You can throw us in the furnace, but we're not bowing to your statue. Because if you throw us in the furnace, we believe that God can get us out of that furnace. But even if he does it, we're still not bowing to your dumb statue. It's not going to happen." And this is where we find ourselves today, in Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 19. So in this, Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful, powerful man, thinks he is actually more powerful than God. He actually looks at our three buddies when they don't bow to the statue, and he says, "I'll throw you in a furnace. And when I do that, what God can save you from me?" And then we see our buddies right before where we're going to pick up today, looking at him and saying, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Go ahead and try. We're not bowing to your statue." And that's where we pick up in verse 19. Let's read this together. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." That makes sense. "And his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, our 3 buddies, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So this arrogant man, Nebuchadnezzar, decides that he's going to put his power up against God's. And he says, look, if you won't bow to the God, to the statue that I tell you to bow to, you just won't live. It's pretty simple. You either do what I say, follow what I tell you to follow, or you die. And the truth is, today, I mean, this seems a bit extreme for us, but there will be times in our lives, in your lives, where your faith will be tested, where everything that you believe will be put to the test, and you'll have a choice whether to bow to something else or to stand for what you believe in, to stand for God. I don't know how it's going to happen. It could be a friend who believes something completely different than you and thinks that you're stupid for believing what you believe. It could be a class in school. It could be a science class that you begin to learn these things that make you question and wonder, wait, I read here that God did it this way, and now this teacher is telling me that it happens this way, and they just aren't adding up. Your faith will be tested, and you'll have a choice every single time whether to bow to what the world around you believes or to stand for what you know to be true in God. And the other reality is that sometimes when we do stand for what is right, things will get a lot harder before they get easier. I mean, that's exactly what happened here, right? It's like the story doesn't go, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for God, and they never bowed, and the king just said, oh, you goofy guys, just get out there. It's fine. Do whatever you want. No, he tied them up and he threw them in a furnace. Things got harder for these guys before it got easier. And some of you are sitting here today, and you're like, yeah, I know. It's hard sometimes being a Christian. Ooh, it's hard. And I know that, yeah, there are things that are actually hard. People could lose friends. People could hate you. People could think that you're stupid for believing what you believe. But I'm talking about something a little different. The thing is that in America, I don't fully think we understand completely what it means to, like, be persecuted, to struggle, to go through a furnace like these guys did just because we believe in God, just because our faith is in Jesus. So for Americans, as a Christian, you're sitting here, you're like, oh, I know that it's hard. It's hard being a Christian. Last week, my mom and my dad, we drove into the service like 5 minutes late, and man, there weren't any parking spots left in the parking lot. We had to walk like an extra 20 yards. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard sometimes. It's hard. It is. It is. Or this one. This one's funny too. You walk into junior high service on a Sunday morning, and maybe you're a little later than usual, or maybe you're not, but you walk in and you're waving at everybody. Girls, you're hugging. What's up? How's it going? That whole thing, whatever you do. And then you get to your spot right here. You're walking down the aisle, and you stop and you're like, somebody's in my seat. I sit there every single week, and maybe it's this person who's never been here before, and you're like, Lord have mercy, that girl is in my seat, and I don't know what to do about it. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. I gotta do these crazy things. I gotta give up my seat in our air-conditioned building with beautiful chairs and screens and thousands of people. Sometimes we run out of water outside, free bottles of water, where there are people that don't have anything to drink. Like, there's no clean water in other places. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. It's hard. This one, It's true of me. Maybe you walk in and you're like, I get up here on the stage, you're like, oh man, Shane again? This guy's talking again. I am so sick of it. I don't like the way this preacher preaches. You know what? Next week, I'm going to stay home, get on my $1,200 computer, watch a podcast from some totally other country or somewhere on the other side of our own country and watch a preacher that I like to watch. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. This last one is fun, but you're like, man, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to like read a chapter a day in my Bible. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian. I only read 140 characters or less. It's either Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. If I can't double tap the Bible to like it. It just doesn't work that way. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. I gotta read a paper book. No, you don't. They have apps on your phone, but your phone, oh, don't start there. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. I get it. The struggle is real. I get it. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I feel you. I know what that furnace is like. And I say these things not to make you feel bad. I'm guilty of every single one of these things. Every single one of these things I've done or I still do. And I shouldn't, but I do. And I think it's hard. It's hard being a Christian and coming to a church in a multi-million dollar building, listening to professional musicians worship God. It's hard sometimes. And then I hear a story like the one I heard a few days back. And if some of you have parents that watch the news like always, like I did when I grew up, maybe you've heard this story. But the story came out and was in most of the major news outlets. And there's this woman in this country called Sudan. This woman is 8 months pregnant. She's got a husband at home. And in her country, she, this past week, was sentenced to die. And for us, you're like, well, she probably murdered somebody. She probably stole a lot of money. She did something bad. She hurt somebody really bad. She's sentenced to die because she's a Christian. That's it. Because she's a Christian. See, in her country, they worship another God. That's predominantly what they do. They serve another God, a different one than you and I do, one that doesn't exist. And they look at her as a threat to their statue. They look at her as a threat to what they believe simply because she believes in Jesus. She's sentenced to death by hanging. Today, it's 2014, and this stuff is happening. And it just puts in perspective for me a little bit, like the complaints that I have as a Christian, the struggles that I go through as a Christian. Some of them are real. It's just true. We'll lose friends. People will hate us. People say bad things about us because we live a little differently than everybody else. But then I hear of this Sudanese woman who's sentenced to die simply because she will not deny her faith in Christ. They've given her opportunities, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had another chance to bow. They've given her chances, and she says, no, no, I'm not denying my God. And she finds herself now sitting on death row, waiting to hear her fate. The truth is, when you stand for what's right, when you stand for God, sometimes things get harder before they get easier. It's just the reality of where we are in the world that we live in. So you hear this and you're like, wow, that's a real downer. Have a great week. No, you're sitting here and you're going, where's our hope then? Like, if this is what we hear about, if people are dying in other countries, if somebody's sitting in my seat, like, where's my hope? Where's my hope? What hope can I have in this God that we serve? Let's keep reading in Daniel 3. Verse 24 is where we're picking up. So what happens after he throws our three buddies in the furnace? Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the furnace?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Our hope, I'll tell you where our hope is. Our hope rests in knowing that when we're going through our fire, God is right there with us. He's right there in the midst of our fire. When our situation gets hardest, when we lose friends, when people say bad things about us, when people think we're crazy because we believe what we believe, He doesn't walk away. He shows up. That's what we see here. I would beg to say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably had never faced a situation this hard in their life, right? They get thrown into a blazing furnace. You're dying. I mean, there's one solution. There's one way out of that furnace, and it's death. And when they're in there, God shows up. They see four men in that furnace, not just our three buddies, a fourth. And there's some debate about who this could be. Some think that it actually could be Jesus before he came to earth as a human being. It could just be an angel. Either way, I don't know. It sounds hard to say this, but I don't know that it truly fully matters. Just the truth is that God showed up in that furnace and brought our three buddies through it and out of it. Spoiler alert, they get out. God shows up. That is our hope. What's incredible is that Jesus, when he walked on this earth, see, this story is from hundreds of years before Jesus was on this earth. And even Jesus, the Son of God, when he walked this earth, he acknowledged this same truth. Turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke. It's to the right. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. In this, we see Jesus speaking to his disciples. And a very similar idea is what we're talking about now. He's talking to them about the fact that they're going to go through some really hard things just because they have faith in him. But even though they go through those things, he's telling them, "I'll give you everything you need in the middle of that." Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, and sisters, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me." That's Jesus saying that. "But not a hair of your head will perish." Catch this. He says, "Stand firm, and you will win life." And you will win life. Life. That sounds awesome. I would like to win life. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did exactly what Jesus said here. Yes, they lived a long time before Jesus walked this earth, but they actually did exactly what Christ instructs us to do when we face hard times. We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's no evidence in this book, in Scripture, that they fought back when these strong soldiers came to tie him up and throw him into a furnace. We don't see him, the soldiers coming this way and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego running away, "I'm out of here." We don't see that happening. We see them getting tied up, walking to the edge of this furnace, and then being thrown in. And what did they do the entire time? They stood firm in what they believed. They never turned their back on God. Because what was the one way out of the furnace? They had a way out. They didn't have to go into the furnace. All they needed to do was bow to the statue that the king set up. Easy. But we don't see that. We see them following exactly what Jesus instructs us to do. They stood firm. They stood firm for what they believed in. The thing is, too, when we look here at Luke 21, is that when we go through those hard times, God gives us everything that we need. He gives us everything that we need. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're not just in the fire alive. Like, God shows up in the fire, and he unbinds them, and they're walking around in the fire. They're having a conversation. They're sipping coffee. Life is good in that fire. God gives them everything that they need to survive those flames. And in Luke 21, he says, he'll give us words. He'll give us words that nobody will be able to stand against. God, who lives with us and who lives in us, gives us everything we need to make it through our struggles, to make it through the persecution that we'll face for believing in him. But I also have to tell you this truth. The way that God shows up in people's situations, it's not the same for everyone. It's a hard truth, but it's the truth. It's the truth. For most of us, what we experience is that we go through hard times, we go through our furnace, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he brings us out of those hard times. He brings us through them, and we make it out okay. Things are okay. He brings us through it on this side of life. But there's the truth that some people make it out of the furnace, but they don't make it out of the furnace until they're walking into heaven and into the arms of God. Either way, he shows up in our situation. Like the Sudanese woman we talked about, I don't know if she's going to live or she's going to die. I don't. Right now, she's sentenced to die. And we look and we're like, well, if she dies, then God didn't show up in her situation. I can tell you that when she dies, she's going to know God unlike any of us in this room do. Because she walks into heaven and into eternity in his presence. She gets out of that furnace. She gets out of her struggle in a way that you and I have not yet experienced. Whether it's on this side of life or whether it's in eternity in heaven with him, God brings us out of our furnace. He always shows up. He always has the way out if we stand firm in him. And I realize most of us will never experience that. Most of us, our hope is, and we know, and we have faith that God will bring us through the struggles we go through here on this planet. And that's good. And I'm thankful that we have a God who does. But for those stories you hear about, like the Sudanese woman, and you're like, oh, that's discouraging. She's going to die. What good is that? It's going to be really good when she walks into heaven. And she realizes all of her hope is now a reality. Either way, God brings us out of the fire. No matter what we face, no matter how hard it is, he never, ever leaves our side. And as we keep reading here in a second, what's interesting is that sometimes when we go through this hard stuff, sometimes when we stand firm for God, other people around us, they see God with us in those moments. They see that the way you're acting is different. The way you're going through your struggle is different. The way you speak back to people is different. And they begin to see God, who is standing beside you and working in you and living in you. And it may begin to have an effect on them as well. Back to Daniel 3, verse 26. So a fourth man shows up in the fire, and then this is what happens. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces." Wow, that's a bit intense. "And their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What's incredible is that when we go through our fire, sometimes other people see that fourth man. Sometimes other people see God show up, and it moves them. It moves them. See, God can take the craziest of situations that we face, the craziest things we go through, and he can turn them around for his own glory. Look at this situation right here. Those satraps, advisors, these important people that we've heard about way too much in this story, just a few verses earlier, were bowing down to this gold statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They were standing there in awe, amazed at this beautiful piece of gold. And now we see these same guys showing up to the furnace where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get out. You don't even smell the fire on them. And now they're standing amazed at what our God has done for them. Because they went through the fire, because they went through this unthinkable situation, this horrible circumstance, these people who were just bowing down to a statue are now standing and going, "Who is your God? How could he do this? How could he bring you out of a furnace?" Sometimes when we go through hard things because we're Christians, other people see that. It brings glory to God as he walks beside us through our fire. See, when you stand for God, when everybody else is bowing to other things, you may be having an effect on people that you don't even know. When you stand for God, you may be leading others to turn from the things of this world that they're bowing to and to turn to our God and to bow to him instead. You don't always know the effect of your standing firm in your faith. It's true for me. My life is an example of this, and I don't say this to say I'm better than anybody else. Trust me, it's been a roller coaster ride. But when God jumped into my story, which he was there all along, but when he grabbed me and he says, "Look, stop running. Stop doing what you're doing. You know the right way to live. Stand firm for me." And when I began to stand firm, other people around me began to notice. People would ask me for prayer. People would come to me and talk to me about their grandparent who was about to die. People would come to me and talk to me about addiction and these crazy things. And I'm a senior in high school, and I'm going, "Why are you coming to me? Do you know what I've done?" But they saw me standing firm. And I'm not saying it's been perfect from there. It's been a roller coaster ride. I've made plenty of mistakes since my senior year of high school. But in those times when I stood firm for what I believed, other people noticed. And I don't get it. I didn't realize it. I wasn't trying to have that effect on people. But I think what they saw was Jesus standing right beside me and bringing me through the struggles of teenage life, bringing me through the hard things that I was facing. And I think, and I hope for some, they saw that and were like, "I want to know that Jesus that you serve." And I hope the same is true for your lives, that as you stand firm for God, as you stand up when everybody else bows, I hope people see Jesus living in you and working through you and bringing you through your fire, and they say, "What is different about that person?" I want to know what they have. They see a peace, they see a joy, they see a love that we have because we've received it from God and now we give it to other people. They see that and they look and they go, I want that. What is that? I want to know what they know. And the hope is that when we stand firm, others see God with us and in us and say, I need to bow to the only true God, the one that they serve. So these 2 weeks, we look at these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that God was with them through everything. Their dedication to God, it brought him glory. God stood with them through the fire. And he even used the situation that they were in to help other people see his power. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, looks and goes, you're going to be cut into pieces. This God is serious. He's for real. And I hope you don't do that. Don't threaten to cut people into pieces. Then you're just creepy. But they see God in the situation. And I hope that over these last 2 weeks, you have an understanding and you realize that no matter what you go through, God is with you. He never, ever leaves your side. Stand firm. Stand firm for what you believe in. Don't just come to church on the weekends or to house groups and then go and be somebody else during the week. Stand firm for God when everybody else is giving in to the ways of this world. Stay true to the God who's loved you since before you were born. No matter what you go through, no matter what this world throws at us, he's with us. Stand firm, because you don't always know who's watching. You don't know who around you may see Jesus in your situation, and then themselves turn from the ways of this world and bow to our God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I pray right now for a room of students that stand firm for you. Lord, as some move up to eighth grade and others move on to high school, God, I pray that this would be a room of people who throughout their lives stay true to you. Know that there is nothing better than you, God, and stand firm for what they believe. And my hope is, God, that when they do that, others would see you in them and working through them, God, and that others will come to know you because of their standing, because your spirit works through their situation, because your spirit that gives them strength to stand then goes out and impacts the hearts of other people. You are real and you are moving. We love you. And we stand firm for you, God, because you've been there for us. You'll never leave us. No matter what we face, no matter how hard the situation gets, you are with us. Lord, today as we walk out of this room, we declare that we will be people who stand firm for you. God, I pray that you would use us in our standing. I ask all this in your name. Amen.